Amen. Go for it.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. It's beautiful to be at a church that embraces the folks that perhaps don't speak the same language, perhaps don't look like you, that perhaps don't like the same songs you do, or dress us perhaps the same way. Because guess what? In heaven,
right,
we're all going to be up there together.
That's right.
My pastor likes to say, look at my face. You better get used to it. We're going to see it in heaven. Hallelujah. And it's beautiful, Pastor, to be in a church that embraces the differences and the understanding that, hey, we're all worshiping the same God.
That's right.
We've all been baptized in the same name.
Yeah.
And those beautiful songs we can all enjoy. And you know what? If you don't know anything else, just start speaking in tongues, because the Lord is in this place. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a joy to be here at Revival Tabernacle. It is my first time, although not the first time here in the area. My wife and I actually love this place. Just celebrated our 3rd year anniversary. And God is good. Funny thing, I don't know if I shared, Pastor, but I actually dated her for 6 years. Yes, I know. Oh, praise God. I felt like Jacob.
Too long.
I didn't have to go that 7th year, but the Lord blessed me. I got the pretty sister. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. She's going to tell her sister later. Hallelujah. But it's great to be here in Santa Maria in the Central Coast area. It's a beautiful place, and this is a beautiful building. I love seeing all the faces and folks here just receiving of God. The presence I feel here, I feel in Oakland. I love that you can feel the presence of God as soon as you walk in. Just lift up your hands. You know what that tells me, Pastor? This is a church that prays. This is a church that knows how to seek the face of God. Hallelujah. And it's powerful. It's powerful. That's what makes the difference. That's what makes the difference. It's that prayer life. It's that connection to the supernatural. I honor Pastor and Sister Pinero. They had us over yesterday at their beautiful house and speaking to some of the young people here, and on Friday as well. It's been a great weekend. Tremendous potential. I'm excited for what God is doing here with the young people in Santa Maria. And, if you ever need anything, Pastor, I know I've said it already. We're always willing to come and to help and to pour into the ministries that I see in these young people here. Amen. I also want to honor my pastor, Pastor Rojas. As Pastor Pinero mentioned, I participate not just in the Section 6, but also with the Spanish ministries under my pastor, and reaching all the Spanish churches here in the Western District, unifying, connecting to the vision. I'm just making sure that we're reaching as many souls as possible at the end of the day. That is what it's about. It's about souls. And it's been a joy to be a part of that. Dios le bendiga a todos mis hermanos que hablan español. Estoy aquí. Me siento humillado, privilegiado de estar con ustedes. Estoy completamente a la orden. Me encanta el espíritu que se siente en este lugar. Amén. Hallelujah. And of course, without the Lord Jesus, this would not be possible. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't be here today without the mercy, the grace, the love of God. I wouldn't be here. And so I thank the Lord Jesus for allowing us this opportunity to rejoice with you. Well, why don't we all stand? Let's jump and go straight into the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And we're going to read through verse 5. It says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration." Somebody say demonstration. "Of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith should not stand on the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Hallelujah. And with that in mind, I want to preach with the title, A Demonstration of the Power of God. Put your Bible aside and let's pray. In the name of Jesus, Father, we stand before you, humbled, Lord God, before your presence, before your mercy. We thank you for what you've done, God, for the power that moves in this place, for that anointing, God, that has been over the praise team and the ministers and the ushers and everybody participating in this service, Lord God. We thank you, Father, for you are here, Jesus. We ask now that you open up our hearts, God, that you open up our minds, Jesus, that you can bring this word, Father, for every single person in this house. Speak to us, God. Remove obstacles. Remove opposition, Jesus. Break chains in the name of Jesus. Will you shout with me, in the name of Jesus? One more time, say, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Go ahead and clap your hands and you may be seated. Romans chapter 1 verse 25 gives us kind of a snapshot of the day that we live in today. It's as if God inspired the author of Romans and showed him what we would be facing in 2019. And I see it time and time again. You see legislation change and politics come and go and society pushing the understanding, the acceptance of the one true God further and further away. And as I read, it begins to speak to me in a prophetic way and letting me know that we are in the last times. Church, it's time for us to understand that there is very little time left. There's not much time for us to sit back casually and enjoy the comfort of a nice air-conditioned building. There are people being lost right now that need what you have. They don't need another preacher to come up and to give them some nice, sweet word to make them feel good and bubbly. What they need is a move of the Holy Spirit. And that move is inside of every single one of you. Hallelujah. Romans tells us who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Yeah. Doesn't that sound like today? Everyone reaching for logic and understanding, reaching for their own explanation, their own resources. It becomes so much easier to grab a bottle of Tylenol than to get on our knees and pray. It becomes so much easier to call and say, hey, doctor, I got a problem, than to kneel down and say, Lord Jesus, I need you. It becomes so easy to reach for something that makes sense in our human understanding than to reach and seek after the supernatural. But I know in this place, there's a church that has not compromised. There's a group of people here that still believes in the supernatural power of the Holy Ghost. There's still a group of people. Come on, am I preaching to you today? There's a group of people here that still believes that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Oh, come on 2020. Come on 2021. My Jesus is the same. He can still change lives. He can still heal the sick. He can still heal the broken. Come on. He can still feel free. Hallelujah. Oh, those that are in bondage. Though the world seeks the creation, we seek a creator. The world you look around is full of theories, full of philosophy, full of humanism, full of programs, full of fictitious and passing things, seeking to find the solution of the question that burns in our hearts. It burns in our minds. Why is it that after they reach and they accomplish that career, after they buy that car, after they acquire that person, or they get those things that they've fought so hard to get, there's still a void. There's still an insatiable thirst. There's a void inside every one of us that can only be filled by the glory of God. When he created us, I believe with all my heart that he created us with an emptiness that can only be filled by a relationship, by a touch, by an encounter with a supernatural God. There is no person that can make you happy. There is no thing, hallelujah, that can give you that joy. There is something, hallelujah, supernatural in this place that is the answer to that question you have in your heart. And my goal today isn't to come with, as the scripture said, with eloquence and human understanding.
My goal isn't to come and to make you feel good. My goal today is simply to wake you up to the message, to the understanding that without Jesus, nothing is possible. Without a touch of God, we can do nothing. Without Him in our lives, nothing is possible. In 2019, with all the technology and all the advancement and all the understanding, we still need Jesus. If you believe that, will you clap your hands in this place? What took the apostles to impact their world in such a way that when they entered a city, someone would shout, "Be careful, here come those that are flipping their world upside down." It wasn't the nice shoes, huh? It wasn't that nice tie. I like your tie, brother. Oh, it wasn't the way they spoke. It wasn't their understanding. It's that every step they took, hallelujah, in the supernatural world, something began to shift because there was something within them. Huh? You don't got to be the best looking. Huh? You don't have to have all the understanding of the universe. Oh, you don't need, hallelujah, a pulpit. All you need is a divine. All you need is the supernatural. Natural. Oh, all you need is a move of the anointing of God. Oh, I'm here to speak to somebody right now that felt maybe it hasn't been enough. You haven't been enough. Well, I'm here to tell you, yeah, perhaps we're short, but there's a glory. There's a power that when it comes upon us, oh, takes the limited. It takes, hallelujah, oh, those shortcomings, and it creates something supernatural. It creates something powerful. Maybe nobody will know your name. But as long as hell knows where you're at, that's all you need. Oh, brother, sister, maybe you and I have never met, but I feel a glory and an anointing in here that I know the devil knows. And when you step into your school, oh, when you step into your job, oh, whenever you go and step on them streets, I bet you anything, the devils are saying, uh-oh, be careful. Here comes that Santa Maria church that is flipping their world upside down. Oh, come on, drug addicts are freed, drunkards are freed, the brokenhearted are healed, oh, the chained are freed, the sick are healed, the bound are unbound, and it's only with a demonstration of the power of God. Oh, hallelujah. What is a demonstration? It means to prove something is true. It's a practical teaching. It is proof of a theory through application of concrete cases. When there's a demonstration, there must be change. I'll say it again. When there's a demonstration, there must be change. When there's a demonstration, there must be a difference. When there's a demonstration, there must be an impact. When there's demonstration, there must be transformation. Oh, when there's demonstration, there must be development. When there's demonstration, there must be maturity. When there's demonstration, there must be holiness. Yeah. Personally, you can feel differently. Personally, I'm tired of those monster mega churches that just become social clubs. Personally. Why? Because I see people go and come and nothing ever changes. Pastor, every example I can find of a person that encountered Jesus, something changed. Something happened. Come on. Every time somebody encounters Jesus, they couldn't be the same. Chains had to be broken. They had to be healed. They had to be lifted up. Oh, every time you come in contact with Jesus, oh, there's got to be a demonstration. There's got to be something that changes in your life. Oh, hallelujah. And let me tell you, nothing in creation can replace our need for our Creator.
That's right.
Hallelujah. There's an obsession with possessions. There's an obsession with being accepted by the rest. And our great need for a Savior has never been so obvious. Why do you think it's so difficult for people to just live for God? To just be consistent in their walk with Him? Simple circumstances, few difficulties, small things, and we're just willing to blame God, to blame the pastor, to blame the church, to blame everything else and renounce to His path. You look at things like Facebook and Instagram and other forms of media, and they show us a world that is seeking to feel complete. But the truth is that nothing in creation can replace our Creator. Nothing made, nothing seen can replace our Creator. Bishop Morgan once explained it this way. He said, you know how God describes the creation? After He created the heavens and the earth, after He created the seas and the dry land, after He created the trees with fruit, and after He created the sun for the day and the moon and stars for the night, oh, after He created the fish in the sea and the animals upon the land, He looked around and He said, it's good. I never thought about it that way. The Lord Almighty, the Creator of the universe, made everything that your eyes can see. And He looked around and He was like, it's good. It's all right. Have you ever given a gift to somebody? Give it to them and you put a lot of thought in it. A lot of effort. I hear some husbands like, yeah. I know what you're talking about, brother. You bring it and a lot of excitement and they're like, oh, thanks. Do you like it? Yeah, it's good. It's all right. My wife's laughing over there. Hallelujah. So when He created everything that you can see, everything in creation, He simply described it as, it's good. But then began the masterpiece. Oh, everything that you see was created with the Word, but there was one masterpiece that He came and with His hands He designed. Hallelujah. Oh, He had a special plan. And after creating man in His image and likeness, He didn't stop there, but He put His breath into man. And it was all with the purpose of giving you the opportunity to choose to live in His glory. I'm convinced that the angels would love to be sitting in your place. I'm convinced that all the hosts of heaven would love to sit right here. Why? Because they're part of that creation that is just, it's just good. It's just, it is what it is. But you're special. Why? Because God made you with the capacity to step into this house, to lift up your hands and say, Lord God, I tried everything in creation. Oh, but your purpose for me is something so much higher. You want to know who I am. You want to dwell inside of me. You have the opportunity tonight. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know if I'm talking to a young lady, a young man, somebody that has been in doubt, but God is calling you. He's saying, you choose today. What do you want to receive? What is the touch that you want? You've been doubting. You've been questioning. But today that demonstration has arrived. That opportunity has come. What will you do today with your chance? And that's why nothing can satisfy us. You get the nice house, give it 5 years. You don't like it anymore. I got a nice car a couple years back. I can't even stand it anymore. Don't tell my wife. You get some nice shoes, Pastor, 6 months, the shoes, they ain't no good no more. Nothing satisfies us. The only thing is a relationship. It's a touch with the divine, the Creator, hallelujah, of the universe. What we need for an explosion, what we need for a revival, what we need, to reach our world is a demonstration of the power of God. It's not human understanding. It's not big, beautiful words. It is only the presence of God. Oh, I was telling the young people, you know what? I have Berkeley Masters students in my youth group. I have students that go to SF State and all this and super educated. They're so much smarter than me. And you know what? If I sat and tried to impress them, I would fail miserably. The only thing I have to offer them is an introduction to the holy God of creation. Oh, brother, sister, maybe you're not good enough, but I know a God that takes the little and makes something great out of it. Yeah. Matthew 5:14 says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Two things I take from that. First, it's a declaration. You're a light. It's not, hey, you want to be a light? No. You are a light. And a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. The second thing is, you're supposed to stand out. You're supposed to stand out. You're supposed to be different. You know what? You call us old-fashioned? Well, guess what? We're supposed to be the old-fashioned ones. We're supposed to be the strange ones. We're supposed to be the crazy fanatics. We're supposed to be those crazy... We're supposed to be those people. Why? Oh, because we've had an encounter. We're a light on a hill. We can't be hid. There's something supernatural in us. The world doesn't speak in tongues. Oh, but they understand miraculous healing of somebody with cancer. Maybe they don't understand the teaching of the gospel. Oh, but they understand the testimony of somebody that was about to commit suicide, but was rescued by the power of God. Hallelujah. It's about the demonstration, the move of God that shows people what he truly is. Jesus is the answer for this world. I'll say it again. Jesus is the answer for our world. You look around, you see divisiveness and racism, and you see politics and in society and all this. Guess what? The answer is? The answer is Jesus. Jesus in your school. Jesus in your work. Jesus in your family. Jesus in your cell phone. Jesus in your car. Jesus in your home. Come on, somebody. The answer to our problem is Jesus. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know how we show the people, how we show the world Jesus is alive and the way he moves is through the life that we live. Your actions, your testimony is the light of the world. It's not saying we're Christians, but being followers of Christ. It's not saying we're holy, but living in holiness. Oh, it's not saying we go to a church, but being a part of the church. It's not saying we're musicians and singers, but being true worshipers in spirit and in truth. The demonstration of the spirit that is greater and more impacting in all of the world is the life that you live. I think when Peter preached that first sermon, I'll go on a limb and assume that there's some of the people in the audience were like, man, wasn't this that same guy that we said was a follower of Christ and he even cursed right there, that he denied him multiple times and ran away? Isn't this that same guy? But the same testimony was so impacting. It was not so much the words, but the life that he now led. It was a true demonstration of the power of God. It was the transformation of the power of God. Something that went further than a service. Something that went further than an altar call. Something that went further than that Sunday service. Something that goes further than NAYC. I tell the young people all the time, this has to go beyond your emotions. It has to go beyond your feelings. Why? Your feelings will betray you, but the divine power of the Holy Ghost will pick you up when you don't feel like going forward. When you're going in a valley, brother, it's the demonstration of God. It's the move of the Spirit that keeps you moving. Oh, when you have no joy, there's an unspeakable joy. Oh, when you have no strength, oh, you get renewed. Hallelujah. It's the move of the Holy Ghost in your life that changes everything. But to reach that demonstration, to reach that move, it's necessary to know him. Why? Because he's not our entertainment. I hate to break it to you, but God isn't here to read your laundry list of needs and just like a genie give them to you. The Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe. So we're not chasing miracles, but because we've believed, because we know who we serve, because we have a relationship. Automatically, everywhere I step, there's blessing. Everywhere I step, there's healing. Every time I pray, I feel a move. Everything I do, I'm not trying. I'm nobody special. Oh, but there's miracles following me. Why? Because I have a relationship with the God Almighty. You know what I love? I love to see a little kid that knows how to get their dad's attention. I love to see that because I was that little kid. I knew how to get my dad's attention. If I needed something, if I wanted something, I knew what pitch to cry at. Yeah. All the parents know what I'm talking about. I knew no matter what they were doing, because the parents get like this block. Yeah, like a block. The kids are just making it just like, well, I can't hear. But you hear that one pitch. Oh, you stop what you're doing. Woo. Anybody can be, the president could be in front of you, but you hear your baby crying. Oh, Lord, stop what you're doing because my baby needs me. Well, guess what? When you know your Father, when you have a closeness with your Father, the moment you get on your knees and you cry, Daddy, I need you. Father, I need you right now, not tomorrow, not in 2 weeks. I need you right now. And because he knows your voice, because he's close to you, he swoops in and he answers the call. You want a demonstration? You better get to know your God. You want to move? You better get to know your God. You need healing? You better get to know your God. I feel like that's for somebody in this house. You've been asking why? Forget about all your laundry list of needs. Come over here and get to know who you serve. It's not pastor's God no more. It's not mommy's dad God no more. It's not daddy's God. It's got to be your own God. It's got to be your own relationship. When you get to heaven, he's got to know you by name. He better know you when you get before that judgment seat. Why? The Bible says that many will come and say, but in your name I did miracles. And the Lord will say, depart from me. I never knew you. I never knew you. Somebody in this place needs to wake up to the fact that if we don't know him, we're still not saved. Oh, but I feel like there's a calling in this place. Oh, there's a move in the spirit. Somebody is waking up right now and saying, Lord, I need to know you. I need to know you. Oh, yes, God. Oh, Judges 2:10 says, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. You know, the greatest danger to the gospel is not the devil. The greatest danger to this church is not the demons waiting for you out there. It's not temptation. It's not knowing who he is. We can have the best intentions. We can have the best understanding. We can have all the intelligence. We can have beautiful music and beautiful lights and tremendous programs. We can have excellent methods. We can have the best dress code and dynamic activities. But if we don't know who he is, it's for nothing. And excuse me if I get a little passionate about this. I grew up in church and I never knew God, but it took for me to hit the rock bottom, get tired of living off of my dad's trails. Oh, living off of my dad's relationship. And when I turned 19, I said, God, I need to know who you are. I need my own move. I need my own encounter. It's time for us to wake up, church. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 3:10 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made comfortable unto his death. But the first part captures my attention. That I may know him. If the author, an author of the Bible, can state this, he's insinuating, I'm reaching. I'm trying. I would like to know him. How much more? How much deeper do we need to go in our relationship with the God Almighty? Sometimes we become so professional. I know I'm not talking to nobody. This is for Oakland right now, and I'm preaching for myself. We get so professional at Pentecostalism that we forget that we're supposed to go from glory to glory to glory to glory. We should never be comfortable. We should always be stepping higher, seeking deeper, reaching further. We should always be reaching to know him. Oh, God, help us, God. Help us to know you, to reach you, to understand who you are, what you are for us. What he is for us is not what he does. It's just who he is. Our worship should be born from the understanding of who he is, not from the convenience and the benefits of knowing him. Pastor, you were a sectional director, you're a presbyter. You can tell when somebody gets close to you just because they want something from you, right? But you can also tell when somebody just wants to know who you are, just wants to get to know what you're like. Do you not think that the Father, the Almighty God in heaven, with the desire He has to know you, doesn't sit and just wants you to want Him? He wants you to want to know Him, not come in and time after time say, okay, God, get ready. Here I go. This is my list. Yes, we're talking about a demonstration, but before we can get to that, we have to understand who He is for us, what He is to us. Oh, because it was on a cross. Before you and I were worthy, before you and I knew Him, understanding every fault and failure we were going to have, He poured every drop of blood for you and I. And even if He does no miracles, even if He does nothing else, we still have enough to step into this place, lift up our hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. First Kings 18:21, we find the story of Elijah, and many of us know it. It says, and Elijah came unto the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered not a word. This just gets me. Because again, it's a symptom of a lack of understanding, a lack of knowledge. He said, all right, people, you got to make a decision. You can't be half in, half out. That doesn't exist. The Lord, there's one thing that makes the Lord sick to His stomach, and it's somebody that is lukewarm. Imagine that. The only thing that makes God sick, is somebody lukewarm. And so we apply it in the scripture, and God says, the prophet Elijah says, choose already. Are you going to serve God or are you going to serve Baal? Pick something. And just like our generation, there was silence. We find the great parallel between the people of Israel in that time and the time we live today. We know of Jesus, but we don't know Jesus. We know the program, but we don't know the purpose. We memorize the words of the song, but we don't know the meaning of the song. And as the people of God, we battle within ourselves among two thoughts because we don't know Him. We stay in the middle of two thoughts. We want to have some faith, but not enough. While the world attacks our foundations and rejects the truth of a true God, we're standing in that threshold. We're standing in that crossroads and we remain in silence. And it's always because we don't know Him. As a pastor's kid, my father, he always received calls at 2-3 in the morning. And it was always people, I'm not saying, please call your pastor, it's totally fine, it's nothing against that. But it was always somebody calling and saying, pastor, I need this. Pastor, my son, my daughter, my this, my that. And it's completely fine. But what was powerful was that my dad would answer. They would tell him what they need. My dad was a little brutal. He would say, oh, your kid is sick? Okay, go grab some oil. You got masala? That's totally fine. You rub some oil on their forehead. Lay hands. You declare the name of Jesus, and your kid will be healed. Good night. Click. Boom. Why? Because you got to start to have your own experience with God. You got to start to know your own God. You got to learn to pray for yourself. You got to learn to declare. Come on. We got to start to have some authority in our prayers. It's time to stop being those little soft Pentecostals on the side. We need to stand up and say, devil, you got it. You got the wrong person. Oh, sickness, you got the wrong house. This family, this church, this house has a move, has a divine covering. And the story comes and it continues in 1 Kings 18:27, the same story. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. This is what I love about Elijah. Elijah knew who he was serving. He knew his God. Because it takes a little bit of understanding for you to be this confident. He was like, all right, you're going to do your thing. And then he sat back, probably grabbed himself an iced tea or something, and just started making fun of him. At noon, Elijah mocked them and said, cry louder, for he is a God. Either he's talking, or he's pursuing, or he's in a journey, or peradventure, he sleepeth and must be awakened. I love this guy. He knows who he believed in. He knows who he trusts in. Have you ever met somebody that can't pray with the lights off? Because the boogeyman was going to get him. You ever heard somebody that's like, oh, no, you can't go on YouTube because they got that Momo challenge. Some of you know what that is. Or you can't do this because you got to be careful. I got a challenge. How about a Jesus challenge? I'm going to rebuke the demons challenge. Oh, how about a prayer and fasting challenge? Oh, how about the church stand up and start to challenge the devil? Hallelujah. When you know who you serve, when you know who's within you, you remember every moment of every day, greater is he. Greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. You know what I started doing? Because I had a little bit of a thing with the dark. And I felt like, kind of like the devil was just after me. He didn't like what I was doing and everything. I started to talk back. I'd be in the dark praying and everything. I felt like something moving in the spirit. I'll turn around and be like, you better be out of here, devil. You better watch yourself. When I told that to my wife, she was like, oh, gosh. I had to start to stand up and say, no, wait a minute. I'm not going to sit here and be intimidated by anything that is beneath my feet. Hallelujah. If greater is he, I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be intimidated. I need to be like the apostle or like the prophet Elijah. Oh, shout a little louder. Maybe they can't hear you. Try a little harder. Come on, devil. You know why? Because my God is greater. My God is stronger. Oh. He wasn't afraid to challenge false gods. He wasn't afraid to challenge things that would come up against us. I make a mention of society. Oh, no, they're going to think we're old school or we're this or we're that. Let them. When they need it, they'll know where to come. That's why it's important to be different. That's why it's important to be who you are and let God move through you. Let them see who you are. Why? Because after they've tried everything, after they've cried to their false gods, after the world has tried in drugs and alcohol and everything passing, they're going to say, you know what? I know this one church. They're a little bit different. They dress a little bit different. They shout a little too much. Oh, they sing a little too long. But there's something there. There's something there. You can't explain it. You can't talk about it. But your life will change. It's a demonstration. Give me 5 more minutes, okay? The story continues, 1 Kings 18:37. It says, now Elijah, after making fun of them and making it as physically hard as it could be, he threw some water on the altar. He made it really, really tough. He stands up and I feel like he just, all the confidence in the world. He says, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God. This is the key. We're not doing this to show how big and bad we are. This preaching isn't for you to go and just be like, get out of my way. I'm on another level here. Peasants, get out of my way. That's not what this is about. He says, hear me, Lord, that these people can know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then he wasn't there all day. They were screaming and shouting and cutting themselves and everything. And he stands up and he gives 2 sentences. Sometimes we think we need a poem for God to move. We think we need to go into revelations in order for God. You know what? When you know your God, when you have a relationship with your God, you need to just go up to your kid. In the name of Jesus, you're healed. I know we're Pentecostals. We like to yell and shake and sweat. And that's great. That's good and everything like that. But that doesn't equal more power.
No.
This ain't for this church. This is for my church. I got some kids over there. They just, go ahead and pray for them. I don't let them pray with their hands on the head. So they get a hold of a shoulder and they're like, it's like, no, you're going to scare them. It's their first time in church. You can't be doing that to them. Give them a couple of weeks before you start the shaking. My Lord. And then you got the massaging sisters. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We're like, sister, not yet. Just lay a hand. Just in Jesus' name. So he said a couple sentences. He said, Lord, hear me. Daddy, hear me. Father, hear me. That these people can know that you are God. Hear me. Not so that I become more popular. Not so that people can know me. But that the world can know that you still sit on the throne. That you're still in control. That you still heal the sick. That you still free those that are in bondage. And what happened? Then the fire of the Lord. It wasn't manufactured. It wasn't made up. It wasn't drummed up in emotion. The fire of the Lord fell. And it consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up all the water that was in the trench. This wasn't an ordinary fire. This consumed everything. I'm looking forward to those services where people come in and at the altar, oh, the Lord consumes so much that they let go of cigarettes and they let go of alcohol. They let go of drugs. They let go of immorality. They let go of all of sin, and the fire consumes all of it. It doesn't stop there. And when the people saw it, they fell on their faces. And they said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. I'm talking about a demonstration of the power of God. That your faith will not stand on the understanding or the words of a man, but on the power of the Almighty. That when people talk about this church, that they can say, oh yes, at Revival Tabernacle, there are miracles. There is healing. Don't go in there unless you're ready to change. Because the moment you step in, oh, you go into the supernatural. Knowing Him leads to confidence and faith in Him. Faith in Him leads to divine move and outpour of His anointing. And anointing prayer leads to demonstrations. Why does a baby cry? Because he knows his daddy, his mama is listening. Oh, brother, sister, young people, this church I know knows how to pray, but we've got to enter a new dimension today and say, Lord God, I want to know you so that they can know you. I want to have a relationship so that they can know who you are. I want to take that Jesus in my heart and share him in my school. Oh, I want to take this anointing and share them in my work. The moment I step into a store, I want the atmosphere to begin to change. Yeah. And as we were reading, he says, and my preaching and my speech was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit of power, that your faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Will you please stand? I feel like God is speaking to us tonight. He wants to show us. He wants to move. There's a demonstration, hallelujah, that can take place. But the first step is going to be for us to come up here and say, Lord, just let me know you. Just let me know who you are, God. That's what lasts. When the emotion of the service is gone, my understanding of who you are is what keeps me together. When I'm where nobody sees me, it's the relationship I have with you, God, that holds me. When all of hell comes up against me, it's the relationship I have with you that reminds me I'm gonna be okay. Oh, I want to open up this altar right now. For everybody. It could be your first day in church. It could be your been in church your whole life. The apostle was saying that I may know him. He was saying, you know what? I'm writing the Bible, but I would like to know him.
Yeah.
Amazing. Come on, somebody. Yes. I I just want to know you. Yes, the demonstration will follow. Yes, the move is coming. Yes, miracles are coming. But right now, God, I just want to know you. Yes, that's it. Come on up. Oh, Shita Yalabahasatarabakashus. Come on, ministers, deacons, members. Come on, just lift up your hands and say, God, I just want to know you. If I can know you, if I can have you, God, if I can have that encounter, Jesus, I'll never be the same. It'll never be the same. My life will change. That's it. Come on. Come on. Oh, yes, God. Come on and start to get to know him. Faith is born in that relationship. True faith is born in that relationship. Oh, get to know your God right now. Oh, yes. Come on. That's what changes circumstances. That's what moves mountains. That's what lifts the dead. Oh, that's what moves us beyond our understanding, beyond our resource. Oh, it's a demonstration. Yes. Oh, ribakashatarabakashayabaha. I need your glory. I want your glory. Bless me and more of you is what I need. Show me your glory. Show me.
Show me your power. Bless me and more of you is what I need. Show me your glory. I want your glory. Show me your power. Bless me and more.